And how true that is, little as much when God is in it. Amen. It is a joy to be here this morning. I am Pastor Robertson. I'm just a servant of the Lord this morning is all I am. It's a joy to be here. I've been being away from a church. Maybe one time a year am I away from my church, Freedom Baptist Church in Seneca. I love my folks. It's been a joy. Father's Day, I've got a text from all my children, all three of my kids this morning, telling me happy Father's Day. It was a joy to get. Amen. Wake up and you get a text from your kids, and that's a joy. So let me start off by saying happy Father's Day to all you fathers that are out there this morning. Thank you for being here this morning and being part of Father's Day with us here in God's house today. Happy Father's Day to all of you. I'm so proud of you today. And then let me say to First Baptist Church, thank you for the wonderful motel room and the great meals that you have provided for Danae and I this week. It's been a joy to be here back with you. God, I can't believe you invited us back a second time. Wow, you've taken a big chance on that. I mean, we love you and thank you. It's been a joy. And so thank God. I don't know how to take it. Michael is correct. We are so different in a lot of areas, but we're so good friends. And I appreciate the friendship I have with Brother Michael and Miss Amanda, and we are kindred spirits, and I don't know how to take it, though. He called me late last night. I'm studying away, and I'm praying, and just trying to get the message. I don't know how to take it. I don't know I take it as a rebuke or what. He says, I know a little, I don't know what all is going on, but I know something's up in the air, but don't make this about me. You preach the, I'm thinking, I always make it about the Lord. Amen. But I know this, it's not going to, I know what today is about. And I want to say congratulations on the 10-year anniversary between you and the pastor, Brother Bowling, and the First Baptist Church. This is a great day. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing when God brings a pastor and a church together. And you know, a pastor hardly ever stays 10 years anymore at a church. And that's something to celebrate.
Amen.
And so, I don't know, Brother Michael, but I'm just going to give you what God's given to me. And it's going to be something about you too, amen, because it is a celebration. So just relax, amen, and enjoy the day, amen. But it is also going to be about First Baptist Church because it's about you too, amen. It's about both of you, how that God brought you together, brought a gift together, and it's a celebration of a gift because God says the pastor is a gift to the church, amen. And the church is a gift to the pastor. And when you work together, it's a wonderful thing, amen? And it's a celebration, amen? And so I thank God for that. But I also will get this out of the way because it is Father's Day, and I have to say something to the fathers. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, and so I just want, why I'm here, I'm supposed to be under pastoral authority. So I will address the fathers just for a little bit here today. And Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, it says this, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You may want to turn the time mic off. How many was here the last time I preached 2 years ago? You'll know, and when he says that we're vastly different in preaching, he is exactly right. I grew under the camp meeting preaching, amen. And so I'm kind of a camp meeting type preacher. I can't help it. I've asked the Lord, in Illinois, I've had people tell me, your style does not fit. Don't turn it all the way off now. Just because they're going to cut me all the way off now. All right, we'll just cut them all the way off. No, don't do that. I need a little bit of volume. I'm not as loud as I used to be, all right? But blame my dad. People don't want to come to my church and say, wow, what is wrong with you? Man, your blood pressure goes way up. And this guy, anyway, I'm not quite that loud. After the surgery put me in a chair, I'm not quite that loud. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4 says, and ye fathers, dress as ye fathers. It's Father's Day. But I have to get to fathers a little bit here today. I'm not going to get you. You're not going to be off the hook completely. And ye fathers. Bible has something to say to us fathers. Isn't it a great thing to be a father?
Amen.
What a honored thing to do to be a father. And we have a job to do for God. And we have a responsibility. And it says, and you have, let me pray to get my mind focused here as we get here this morning. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be here at the First Baptist Church. And what a wonderful thing. And you brought a great crowd in here today. And God, calm my nerves. I don't preach to a crowd like this usually, this size. And so God, help me, God, to deliver your message. God, at this time. God, a great thing at this church. God, a great thing. God, 10 years ago, God, you brought a church and a pastor together. And God, they've been serving you in this community. And God, you're growing something here. And God, I'm so thankful for that. So help us, God, this morning to get your truth across the way you'd have it to be across today. Help me to remember what you had me to remember and not to remember what you don't want me to remember. But God, most of all, touch me and use me this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Oh, but look at this. But bring them up. I love that. Don't bring them down. Bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I love that. How are you going to do that? How are you going to bring them up? It says, and ye fathers. So I'm just going to give you a quick little here thing, and then we're going to get into the message that God has for me. You ought to establish the foundation as a father. Establish the foundation. They need a foundation. Our children today must and need a foundation. Oh, when I was growing up, they had the foundation. They knew, parents knew how to establish the foundation. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't establish the foundation as a father, you won't have a child that will raise up for the Lord Jesus Christ. You must nurture them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Establish the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Amen. Thank God. Our homes ought to have the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Matthew chapter 7 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and when the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Thank God for the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fathers are to be building their homes upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock. So number one, we ought to be a listening father. We ought to listen to the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ and do them. Where are they at? It's the Word of God. Amen. This is the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to what the Lord says? And lay the foundation of your family and your children upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a listening father this morning. Oh, when we hear them, don't just be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word, and be a listening father that will lay your foundation. Then number two, don't says, provoke not your children to wrath. Be a loving father. Amen. Not only be a listening father, but a loving father. Number one, ought to love your companion. Ephesians chapter 5, you go back a chapter, you ought to love your companion. Your children ought to see you love your wife. Amen. Thank God. Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. What a high command, as Christ loved the church. That is a never-ending love. Amen. Thank God. In the bad times, you love her. In the good times, you love her. In the high times, the low times, in the rainy season, in the sunny time, you love her. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. It never ends. It only grows stronger. You're establishing a foundation. You love your wife. You love your companion. Number two, you love your Christ. Amen. Now, when you love your companion, you love your Christ. Amen. Or you love Jesus first. Amen. He's the first love of your life. Amen. There ought to be no other love first. Yes, you love your wife. You love her dearly. Thank God that wife back there, Danae. I love her. Amen. Like nobody else on this earth except the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. And as I love him, I'm able to love her more, and my love for her grows as my love for Jesus Christ grows. I love him first because he first loved me. We cannot love because until we love him. Amen. Nobody loves until you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Love your Christ. And number two, number three, love your children. Amen. Oh, children today need the love of a father. Amen. I begin to look throughout the Word of God, characteristics characteristics of our Heavenly Father. And I found 131 of them in the Bible. 131 times the Heavenly Father is listed. There's kindness. There's mercy. There's all of these things. Yes, there's correction. There's all of these things. I can go on. 131 characteristics of a Heavenly Father. Hey, we have a big billing, fathers, to live up to establish the foundation for our children. But it starts with loving Christ, loving your companion, and loving your children. How many children grow up without a love of a father today? And I'm here to tell you, if we're going to establish the foundation of our family, fathers, we must have a love for our Christ, and love for our wife, and love for our children today. Establish the foundation. Number two, establish the it ought to be established on the faith.
Yep, that's right.
Established on the faith. Oh, churches are missing men. I'm glad to see all the men in the building today. Wow, this is great. Amen. Pretty unusual in a lot of churches today. More women go to church typically in America than men. Amen. That's just what stats tell us. And we see it. But thank God for the men on Father's Day. That excites me, Brother Bowling. Amen. To see the men sitting in the house of God. Hey, establish your home on the faith. Don't send them to church. Take them to church. Amen. Thank God. Hey, it would help us a lot today if the men would set the example and lead. They'd be a leading father, not just a loving father. Amen. Amen. But a leading father. Amen. Thank God. Lead them to not a listening father and a loving father, but also a leading father. Lead them to the house of God. Let your children see you in church, loving and singing the songs. There's nothing like I remember my dad. He was a pastor. I was a PK all my life there in Illinois, in Rockford. Yes, communist Illinois. Amen. Praise God. And God still has me there. Amen. He won't release me. Amen. So I'm just a missionary to Pritzkerland. Amen. But praise God. They need the gospel too. Amen. Praise God. But I'm here to tell you, we ought to lead. There's nothing like remember seeing my dad as a boy singing and preaching the word of God and telling me and leading. I couldn't use an excuse. I'm sick today. I'm not going to church. He said, well, you can be sick sitting in the back pew, amen, or sitting in my office, but you're going to church today, amen. It wasn't a thing, well, are we going to church today? I knew we were going to church today. Hey, I've never seen other fathers sitting there singing in church. Hey, I'm saying lead your family to church, amen. Well, I guess I'm taking too long on this, amen. Might be what I'm preaching on today, amen. He's giving me the thumbs. I'll get to you in a minute, amen. You're not going to escape it all today. You're not going to go unscathed. Just going to be a leading father. Amen. And then be a learning father. Not only lead them to the house of God, but lead them to the word of God. Then be a learning father. You should never stop learning as a father. Hey, man, I've got grown kids. All my kids are grown. Well, we still got our 27-year-old daughter at the house. I was fixing to say they're not all out of the house. She's not married yet and still waiting for the husband to come along. But I'm still trying to learn. You know, I'm trying to learn how to be a father to adult children. They may be out of my house, but I still got to learn to pray for them. I still got to learn to guide them and direct them. They still come to me with questions. They still come to me and say, Dad, how do I do this? And unfortunately, my son's wayward. I've got to learn how to help him. I've got to learn how to pray for him better. I've got to learn how to try at a distance to be a father to him. I'm glad I got a text from him this morning.
Amen.
I'm glad he knows I'm preaching the word of God today. I'm glad he knows I'm still holding down the fort. You got to learn. Be a learning father. Learn. And then be a leaning father. You got to lean on God. Amen. All right, let's move on. Amen. I hit you fathers today. Amen. I obeyed the pastor on today. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Pastoral authority right there. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. You're already in the book of Ephesians. Let's just go back 2 chapters. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1. I got to hurry. Time's a fleeing. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That word vocation there does not mean in today. The word's kind of changed. If you go to Webster's 1820, it means summoned, or the gospel was set before you. It means salvation was set before you. And thank God that you are called. It means called, that the gospel was called to you. We were called to salvation. It was summoned to us. Amen. The gospel was, I'm glad the gospel was set before me. Amen. And thank God that moving on, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Boy, that's a blessing right there. Amen. Hey, he just works. He's above us. He's in us. He works through us. Thank God. This work is not about us. It's about Him. Amen. Thank God. But as every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And remember that word gift. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts. There's the word again, gave gifts unto men. Now He ascended with that. Now that He ascended, what is it that, but He that also descended, I'll get it out in a minute, first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Here's the verse I want to focus on. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I'm not going to have time to do dig into this a lot for time's sake, because I want to cover the territory in a short time. So forgive me that I don't go deep into the context. So I'm going to go more topical right now. And I know Brother Michael is expository, but I need to be off and running this morning. So here we go. We see here in our text that God wants us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. That vocation here means a calling or a summons. We have been called by grace to salvation. The Lord has summoned us by His love and mercy unto Himself, and we are now to walk worthy of that calling. It is a walk that is to be done privately in our Christian life and publicly in our church life. Right. Amen. You with me? All right. As we move down through our text, we see that he has gifts unto men in verse number 8. He has gifts unto men. He says, whereby He saith, we have ascended up on high and led captivity captive, and have gifts unto men. All right, and He also had the gift of Christ in verse number 7. The gift comes from Christ, and it's of Christ. All right, in verse number 8. We see that these gifts were in verse, we see what these gifts were in verse number 11. And we know that apostles and prophets are no longer gifts of our day. Right? Apostles, you had to see Christ that was alive. We don't have those today, prophets today. But we do, for our day, have evangelists and pastors and teachers. Praise God. That are gifts to the church today. Praise God. and we certainly are given for us today. Then we see what these gifts were, what these gifts were for in verse number 12. What were they for? He lists three reasons in this verse, and we can read them there. What were these gifts for the church? Why were they given? The pastors, evangelists, and these teachers. Well, look at verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting does not mean that you become perfect, but you become mature in Christ. You grow to maturity. You don't stay a babe. You don't stay the same as you were when you got saved. Amen. That you grow. So God gives you a pastor in the church, and then he can send an evangelist to preach a meeting or preach like I'm doing today. I'm another pastor, but that will stir you up. Amen. And help you along the way. And teachers, like we had good teaching. Your pastor taught you today in a good class. And it will help you to mature, grow in your Christian life. The perfecting of the saints. The work of the ministry. The church is a ministry. It takes work to grow. Not only your own Christian life, but the work of the church is a ministry. It's a work, and it needs to grow. And then the church working together, and it becomes a work. Hey, there's a need to work today. Amen. The saints working, and the shepherds working, and all of that. And so, and then it says this, and what's the third one? For the edifying of the body of Christ, strengthening and encouraging and helping the body of Christ. This is what you are, First Baptist Church. You're a body of Christ. Amen. The church. So that's what the gift was for, to the church. So turn with me, if you would, now over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. We're moving good. I got a little bit of time left, not much. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, and we'll conclude here with our thought here this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is my verse. When people ask me what my verse, my life purpose verse is, this is the one I use. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, and it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Yeah, tremendous verse. You find that word ministry again that you found over in our text. The work of the ministry over there in Ephesians. Well, look what Paul says. Paul was also the writer there over there in Ephesians when he wrote that to the church of Ephesus. Look what he says here. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who have enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Amen. Isn't those wonderful words? Paul says this. "He hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." That word "enabled" there means this, equipping, strengthening. He equipped me. He strengthened me. He enabled me. Hey, we cannot do the work that God's called us to do. Church, you cannot do it. And the pastor cannot do it. If God doesn't enable us, if he does not equip us, if he does not strengthen us, he must power us. Oh, I had to pray. I had to seek God's face. I wanted God to touch me as I preach today. I cannot do it on my own. God must equip me. God must strengthen me. It's not my calling. It's God's calling. And when God touches us, he must, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Hey, Pastor Bowling cannot get up here unless God enables him. He's human just like you are. I'm human just like you are. But when humans come together, the body comes together with the pastor, and God enables them. God, in other words, God gives them the ability. The work of the ministry can get done for God. And Paul says, "He hath enabled me." Stay with me. I'm going to bring the plane down. Amen. "Putting me into the ministry" is the next phrase. "Counting me faithful" is the next phrase. In other words, God-given ability and enabled me. He has a God-given ability. The next phrase is, He counted me faithful. Counted. Amen. He counted me. In other words, God sat there and he gave him his God-given approval. Counted me faithful. God looked at the Apostle Paul and he says, you know what? I count you faithful. I've watched your life. I've seen you. And there's a ministry over there. There's a church over there in Lexington, Nebraska that needs a pastor. That's a ministry that I put together. There's a body over there. But right now they need a pastor. They need somebody that's going to lead them. Pastor means shepherd. Amen. It's an under shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. But the pastor comes as an under shepherd. Hey, leader. Hey, man. That can come. And I'm going to empower you. I'm going to equip you. Amen. I'm going to give you the ability. I've watched your life. Amen. And I put the ability on you. I'm putting the approval on you. But it takes some preparation. I've counted you faithful. Now the Apostle Paul just didn't get saved and all of a sudden go and begin to pastor churches and start churches. He almost did. We know Paul's life. He was once Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, the havocer of the churches. And we know over there in Acts chapter number 9 where Paul had a letter and Paul thought he was zealous. He thought what he was doing was God's will. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was trained by Gamaliel, the best of the best. And he was going around doing what he thought he was right. But there was a great light that shone one day. There it is, that word. What's the word I'm looking for over there in Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 4. Let me get over here. Vocation. He was summoned by God. The gospel was set before him. Amen. And he says, Paul, Saul, Saul. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Yep. He was summoned by the gospel. The gospel was set before him. Amen. The vocation of God was there. Praise God. Somebody help me out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm getting somewhere. Praise God. It's coming out, Brother Michael. I'm going to shout in a minute. Amen. It's coming. Amen. And Saul's on that road to Damascus. And he said, what will thou have me to do? Acts chapter 9, you'll find it in your Bible, in your King James Bible, you'll find it. Acts chapter 9, verse number 13. He's now gotten saved. He's now gone to the house of Ananias. He's now over there in Jerusalem. God calls Ananias. He says, I want you to go over there. I got a man over there. I want you to touch his eyes. Ananias says, No, God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's Saul. If I go over there and touch that man's eyes, I'm next in line. He'll persecute me. He'll throw me in prison. He'll throw me in jail. He'll kill me. God said, don't worry about it. I've chosen him to be a vessel.
Yeah, man. That's right.
You know what a pastor is? He's called of God. Yes. He's approved. As I said, he's God-given. He's been a God-given approval. He says, I've chosen him to be a vessel. God called him. And God called and told Ananias, he says, I've already called him. He said, don't worry about it. And Ananias goes over there, touches him. And Paul sets out on the dusty trail of becoming the greatest missionary to ever live to start churches.
Amen.
Your pastor today is God called. He's God approved. He's got God's ability and he's got God's approval. And then it says this, the next verse, putting me into the ministry. Putting me into the ministry. Now he has God's given ability. He has a God-given approval. And we see here he's been God-given assignment.
Yep.
He put me into the ministry. All of you that are members here at the church, that come here to church, you have an assignment too. You're to serve the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. Come before him with gladness. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Oh, but there's something special when the man of God stands behind the pulpit, the pastor. He's been given a God-given assignment. He was put into the ministry. I can tell you today, God's called me to preach. I know that.
Amen.
I can take you to the place where God called me as a young man, as a teenager, at Victory Baptist Church at a youth camp. When I couldn't get away, when I asked my dad, I said, Dad, how do you know you're called to preach? And he just said, you'll know. I said, Dad, come on. He said, you'll know.
Amen.
He says, I'm not going to call you to preach. You can't be daddy called, mama called. I said, well, how do you know you're called? He said, you'll know. You'll know. I know these preachers over here, they'll know what I'm talking about. You see, you just won't be able to get away from it. When you go to bed, you'll know. It's kind of like Samuel. Samuel! Samuel! Eli! Eli, did you call me? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Samuel! Samuel! Ha, Eli, you did call me. Oh, I didn't call you. Finally, the man of God that was out of tune with God and backslid on God finally said, oh, I got it. Next time he calls you, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Samuel became one of the greatest prophets that ever lived in Israel. He's got God-given ability, he's got God-given approval, and he's got a God-given assignment. It's a personal and preferred calling by God. It's God's work. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're already there. Chapter number 3 says, it is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. It's God's work. This is God's work. It's God's pulpit. It's God's church. It ain't his church. It's God's church. I have to remind people that. Oh, I love your church. It's not my church. It's his church. Yeah. I'm just doing his business. Mm-hmm. Oh, God put me here. Yeah. God's placed me in this position. Yes. And God can remove me anytime he wants.
That's right.
Amen. Come on. God can say that's it. That scares me, brother. God can say, you're done. You're done. I love doing what I do. But I'm reminded if I don't stay humble and I don't stay holy, God can say, I remove you.
That's right.
I'm God's under shepherd. He's God's under shepherd.
Amen.
It's God's work. So it's a good work. It's a great work. And it's a glorious work.
That's right.
Amen. The word pastor, I got to close. The word pastor is shepherd. So let me give you this, and I'm done. Here's the message, and I'm done. The word pastor is a shepherd. So he has three responsibilities. He has three responsibilities as a pastor. He has to guard. In other words, he's to watch. He's to be like a watchman, it says over there in his book of Ezekiel. He's to be a watchman. He is to watch. The Bible says he's to watch for your souls. That's his responsibility. As a pastor, he has a responsibility, and he is to watch for your souls. He's the guard. He's the guard. He's to guard your souls. He's to guard your souls. How does he do that? Well, he does that. Let me find my notes. I got all this chicken scratching down here. He's to guard your souls. He's to watch for your souls. He does that through praying. What a joy it is to be able to pray for my people. He's to watch for your souls. Watch for your souls. Part of the job as a pastor is to watch for your souls. He does that through praying. Number two, I guess I'm running through this. He's to warn. A shepherd watches, and he does that through praying. It's on this page. He's to watch. And then he's to warn. He's to warn. A shepherd warns. He's to warn you of danger.
Yep.
He's to warn you of sin.
Amen.
Warn you of sin. Warn you of sin. Then that has to do with guiding. Not only is he watching and guard, but he warns you and guides you. He warns you of sin. He does that through the precepts. Does that through the precepts. Boy, he comes to you and he guides you through this precepts. Boy, I cannot guide anybody unless I guide them through this word.
Right.
When people come to me, I want to give them the word. The only thing that helps you is this word. Thank God your preacher does that. He guides you through the word of God.
Right.
He warns you of sin. Hey, stop, stop. You're going down a road you don't want to go. The word of God says this. He guides you through the precepts, and he warns you of sin.
Amen.
Thank God for a shepherd. Thank God for a pastor that'll warn you about sin. Oh, it's not popular today. But you must take the precepts and warn you of sin. Not only does he do it through the precepts, but he does it through preaching and teaching.
That's right.
It says over there in our text, gave some pastors and teachers. Warns you through preaching and teaching.
Amen.
We don't just come up here and try to get our own. We try to follow the Lord and what He has for us today, and what we pray about it. And say, Lord, what do You have us to do? What do You want us to preach about? And we try to know our people. A shepherd knows his sheep, and they know the voice of the shepherd, and they follow them. Oh, thank God! Have you heard the shepherd's voice today?
Amen.
I guarantee you, my voice isn't your shepherd, but you know His voice. My people know my voice. But the voice that you need to listen to every day is His voice.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the shepherd. But you also got, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You ought to follow your pastor as he follows Christ.
Right.
But the main one you follow is God.
Amen.
And then, not only is he watch and guard and warn and guide, but the pastor works so you can grow.
That's right. That's good.
Over there in Ephesians, it talks about that. You want to grow. To edify the saints.
Yep.
To edify the saints. You ought to be growing spiritually. Amen. And you ought to be growing. Hey, boy, it's good to see growth when I was here last time. Pastor is to warn. He's to grow, work and grow. How do you do that? By sowing.
Right.
You'll work by sowing. You got to be out sowing seed. You won't grow if you don't sow.
You're right.
Amen. You ought to be sowing, out there sowing. Plant. You do that through planting. You got to plant. You got to plant. You got to plant. Hey, if there's no planting being done, there's going to be no growing. When's the last time you handed out a tract?
Well,
you're over there on the chair. When's the last time you talked to somebody, gave your testimony to somebody? You got to plant. You got to plant. Got to sow. Got to sow. Amen. Sowing. 10 years ago, church, First Baptist Church was looking for a pastor. Had a ministry. First Baptist Church here was looking for a pastor. You were faithful. You're doing what you're doing for the Lord. You're staying faithful. You were praying, and God brought you a pastor, and Brother Bowling and Miss Amanda. The ministry came together. God sent you a man that had the ability, that was God approved, and God gave him an assignment, and you guys have been working now for 10 years. Can I say congratulations on 10 years?
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Can I say you've done well? Look at what you're doing. You've done well. You've grown. Amen. And you're doing good. And you're working together. And you're accomplishing what God wanted you to do. First Baptist Church, thank God. Stay the course. Run the course. Stay faithful. And finish what God has for you to do. I believe Jesus is coming.
Amen.
To Pastor Bowling and Miss Amanda and the Bowling family, stay the course.
Right.
Keep loving the folks. Keep leading the way. Keep serving the Lord. Stay faithful. The church, the pastors to be faithful. Pastors to keep the faith. Stay faithful. The pastor position is a holy position. It's a high position. But when I say high, you just stay humble. Keep your humbleness. But then it's also to be an honored position.
Amen.
Church would honor your pastor. Amen.
That's right.
And that's what we're going to do today. It's what the church is doing today. It's what we're going to do today. It's a great thing. The Bible says over there, 1 Timothy, just a few chapters over, chapter number five. I don't know how my notes are all messed up today. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 22. Worthy of double honor. That means it's an honor of appreciation. Talks of two honors there, an honor of appreciation. You ought to appreciate your pastor. How many of you appreciate your pastor?
Amen.
Amen. And then it's an honor of authority. but it's also an honor of accusation. It says that no one's to come and bring an accusation, and there's two or three, not just one. It's an honor of accusation. God says it's a position of honor. And church, you're going to honor him today, and I say congratulations to that. He's brought a lot of friends are here today. Amen. Family's here today. He's excited. He's acting like he's not excited, but he is. Miss Amanda, I know she's excited. And they've been trying to keep it quiet. Amen. His children are here. Amen. The church, you've run a great race, church, for 10 years. How many churches can say that? Amen, Brother Bruce. The brother is here. Amen. And so thank God. I mean, you've added to the church in 10 years. Got a beautiful building. I mean, you've done well, church. Amen. So thank God for that. So I'm finished. Brother Bays, I know you wanted to come. He's got Father's Day gift, I believe, for them. So you can come and do what you need to do.